Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kinney. Mental illness, in its varying degrees, is something we've discussed a lot on our show. And sometimes those conditions can affect a person so badly that they just can't function on their own anymore, and they need professional or medical help. Sometimes that realization comes when you're serving a mission. Candace's son was recently serving a full-time LDS mission when his anxiety became too hard to bear on his own. He chose to seek professional help, so that meant he would need to come home early. Candace is actually in my ward, and I was able to sit down with her and talk about this experience and the tips that she has for people on how to communicate with and show love to these early return missionaries. Take a listen. How long was he serving before he came home?
He served about 8 weeks in the MTC.
Okay.
And then about 10 days in the country, the foreign country he was in.
Okay.
And that's what really kind of...
Yeah.
...sent him over the edge was the tremendous differences that were there.
I bet. And you were keeping in contact with him throughout the MTC, I'm assuming, through email.
Yes.
And when he finally got to the mission field, when did you realize that his anxiety was kind of getting the better of him and was affecting his ability to be a missionary at the time?
Well, we got a call on Christmas Day, the regular call, and he hadn't been gone very long, so it was nice to hear from him, but he really said he was struggling. That's the first time he ever indicated he was having any kind of anxiety at all.
Although, his entire life?
Right. Wow. Yes, in his entire life. Although he didn't put a name to it. He said he was really struggling. He just said, I need a hug. I need my mom. I need my family, and he couldn't really put words on it. He couldn't pinpoint it for us, but he was asking to be consoled and loved.
After he came home, you mentioned that you were worried about how he would be treated, communicated with by his ward and his stake.
Yes.
Which influenced you to say what you did say over the pulpit, which I thought was fabulous, and I think more people need to talk openly about anxiety and about the fact there doesn't need to be a stigma surrounding those who choose to come home early from their missions for whatever reason.
Exactly.
And you mentioned a list of do's and don'ts as far as communicating with your son, and I think they could apply kind of across the board to people who have chosen to come home early or who suffer from anxiety. Can you just kind of go over those, the do's and the don'ts?
You bet, absolutely. I'm mostly, and this may or may not work for everybody, like you were saying, it could, span the gamut, but, and it may not, I realize that, but for our son, it was really important. We felt, my husband and I both felt, after counseling with the state president and after, understanding him the way we do and what we still barely knew what we were dealing with because he'd only been home a day and a half by the time we had church on that Sunday. But we just felt strongly that two major don'ts would be don't ask him why he's home or what happened, nothing to the effect of why. And I was a little nicer on the stand, I hope, but it's really none of anybody's business.
Right.
It's just not something that he should have to rehash to anyone outside of his little private circle of support, which in his case was his parents, the stake president, perhaps his counselor. And I don't think people intend to be mean, but I think really for most people, the majority of people really want to help and they don't know what else to say. And so they kind of want to understand the situation better. And sometimes it is kind of morbid curiosity, but to have a kid, any person that is struggling with anxiety anyway, which is why he's home, because he was crippled for days, to have him rehash some of the most horrible moments of his life, again and again and again.
Doesn't help the healing process.
It doesn't at all. It doesn't at all. It keeps the wounds kind of open. And I was really worried. I wanted to do everything I could to not give him something else to have to heal from. And if he has the perception of being traumatized by members of his ward family, whether they intend to or not, that's going to be something else on top of everything else that he's already trying to heal from.
What are some things, some positive things that people could say to him that might help him in his healing process or just be good, friendly conversation for him?
We had, if you really would like, if you can't say anything else, just welcome home. You know, we're glad to see you. We love that you're here. We're behind you. We're part of your word family. Sometimes just a smile and a pat on the shoulder. He said he got a lot of that, and he appreciated that. That meant something to him. If he wants to talk about specifics, he will, at least for my son, this is just my son we're talking about.
Right.
But he'll seek that out. You know, he doesn't want to discuss it, the specifics about the bad parts. Now, I do think, and again, this is my son, I don't know if other missionaries would be okay with this, but for him, he really loved telling us stories about wonderful experiences he had in the MTC and wonderful experiences he had in the 10 days that he had been in that foreign country. And you know, his favorite companion. Who is your favorite companion? Tell me about him. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite teaching experience? Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the MTC over Christmas, just barely, and had a whole bunch of wonderful speakers and musical numbers. I mean, any one of those he would have loved to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could find little details and give him the chance to speak about his mission in a way that's positive,
right,
and helps him remember what was wonderful about it.
That's good advice. And that's something I guess I wouldn't have thought of on my own. I would have thought someone wouldn't want to talk about their mission at all, or would kind of just want to cower and hide from people. But it's so, I think it shows a lot of maturity and strength that he does want to speak about it as a positive
thing.
Thank
you. I actually agree. He's a great kid, but any young person that makes it that far has to be a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be.
To have that desire.
Some sense of maturity. Sense of, I mean, they were approved to go in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not defectives.
Right.
They're great people.
Right.
And the fact that they even made it that far, you know, I would say most, if not all, of these return missionaries would have a lot of those qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And as members, and I've been there. I've totally been on the other side of it. And as members, we just don't, we want to help, but we don't know what to do or what to say. And I think understanding that most of these kids probably really do want to talk about it, especially in a positive way, can be really helpful.
And it's therapeutic, I think, about it. When you feel comfortable and you feel not judged and accepted and loved by the other person, sometimes it is nice to just get things out of the open. And I think you kind of make connections and you can heal when you hear yourself say certain things.
And like you're saying, the more open we are about it, the less stigmatized it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody can deal with some of these problems
mm-hmm.
at any time in their life. Mm-hmm. And I think we put an awful lot of pressure and a lot of judgment. You know, we're a missionary society. We want to share the gospel. We're expected to share it. And when we think that expectation isn't being met by others, it can be a little hard to swallow, and frankly, that's just not really fair.
And there's lots of ways to share the gospel. There's
Absolutely.
Lots of ways to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ.
The beautiful thing about all of us is whatever it takes, if we seek the right help, we heal.
Mm-hmm.
We heal. Mm-hmm. We get better.
And speaking of that, how has the Savior helped you to kind of heal or kind of come to terms with this situation? And how have you seen the Savior help your son?
Mm-hmm. I'll start with the way that I've seen the Savior help my son. When he left, he had a burning testimony of the gospel. For his young age, my son, you know, you get the mom goggles and you just think everything your kids do is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But with him, there really seemed to be an intense maturity. And he just accepted. He had questions, but they just felt like the right questions. And he had experiences that just felt really deep and mature, even for as young as he was. And he had a burning testimony of the gospel. And in these 10 weeks or whatever it is that he was gone, even though the last couple weeks were, must have been terribly painful for him. He tells me that he spent so much time communing with God, praying on his knees, begging every chance he got, praying to Heavenly Father, that he actually feels like, even though he came home, he feels like his testimony is even stronger. And so, not having experienced it myself, my estimation of what he's gone through is that he, that the Savior has really wrapped his arms around my kid and has revealed himself to my son even more intensely than he had before in that short time, and even through all that suffering. And it brought him home. I mean, he was great when he left, but when he came home, he was more humble. It was a deeper maturity of his understanding of the Savior and of the atonement. And so whatever's coming, if he can stay on the right path, he's going to be wonderful. He's going to be fabulous. Yeah. He's on a path to discipleship. And he tells us how he just knew the only way he would get the help he needed was if he came home. And that was a tough decision for him to make.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of helping me, I'm not going to lie. The first night when I got that, when our bishop came and sat with us, he said, I knew something was wrong when he texted. And it just was horrible. And I was angry. I was furious. This is not the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something we so weren't even expecting from this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from some of our other kids, we might have expected. He just did not seem, he's so extroverted and outgoing and helpful. And just, he's just a really special child. And I was really angry. I was angry at God. I was angry at my son. I was angry at the mission president. I was mad. I didn't want to pray, and I didn't. And the next morning, we collected him. The next day, we collected him. And then soon after, we met with our stake president. And I just, the whole time, I was trying to embrace my son, and I did, and because I love him. And I was trying not to show that anger to him, doing everything I could to hide that anger.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't need that right now. And I didn't feel any relief until I went to the stake president, my husband and I, and our son. And through the stake president, I just felt he handled it so beautifully. I honestly think it was more what I needed than maybe what our son needed. Because my faith in priesthood keys was restored. He said all the right things. And without me saying much at all, addressed my primary concerns. And I walked out of that meeting feeling the Spirit in a very comforting and very powerful way, that I reconnected. It took me about, 36 hours of really being very angry to softening my heart in a way that my eyes were opened and I could see better what my son needed. We're on the path to discipleship. And that path doesn't always look the same for everybody.
Right.
And thank goodness for that.
I think one of the most comforting things I've ever read wasn't necessarily in a gospel book, but it was the Latin definition of the word perfect. And it means complete.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at it that way, like you're saying, everyone's path looks different. And as long as you do what you're supposed to do,
absolutely,
your son and you do exactly what you're supposed to do, you will be perfect in God's eyes.
Allowing the Savior to smooth out all those rough edges and all those missing parts and help us become whole. And he's doing that for my son. And he's doing that for us.
All right, we want to thank Candace so much for sharing her thoughts with us. And if you or a loved one has experienced something similar to Candace and her son, a helpful thing to do is to watch the Mormon Channel video series, His Grace, which deals with the topic of early returned missionaries and other difficult things that test our faith. And you can access those videos on mormonchannel.org. We're going to close our episode today with a quote from Sister Carol M. Stevens. And she said simply, "We are each part of God's family." And I would add that we need to remember that so that we treat each other that way. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.